AgBioScience is supported by Indiana Farm Bureau.
The rise of plant-based milk is probably not ideal for corn growers, but I think there's a recognition that it has become mainstream, and here's a way to participate in the growth of a new market.
Welcome to AgBioScience, the number one podcast in the world for innovation in food, animal health, plant science, ag tech, and agriculture. Here is your host, Agrinova CEO, Mitch Frazier.
Welcome back to AgBioScience. The rise in alternative food has become a growth driver for the food industry at large and created new opportunities and new ways for different consumers to interact with different products. Today's guest is an innovator, a capitalist, and someone who is bringing some really interesting award-winning new technologies to the U.S. food system. This is going to be fun. Welcome Tim LeClair, CEO of Maizly. Tim, welcome to AgBioScience.
Good morning, and thank you for having me.
I am elated you're here from South Africa, making the trip to Indiana. Tim, we have so much to cover. Maizly, a recent award winner focused on the U.S. market, soon to be. Before we jump in, we have to learn, what is Maizly and why is it different from other alternative drinks?
Maizly was initially an idea from my co-founder, Marcel, around a plant-based milk that uses corn as the base ingredient. When he came to me with the idea, we looked around the world to see if any product like that existed, corn being the most abundant crop in the world, and we were quite surprised to see that there was nothing. The closest we found was in Vietnam and Cambodia, which actually turned out to be a sweet corn juice. Huh. So no functionality at all as a milk. So we set about then developing the product, and we developed our flagship, which is Maizly Original. Now, Maizly Original, one of the objectives we had, which we found was a shortfall with the existing plant-based milks, was that we wanted a product that didn't, was complementary to your tea or coffee and cereal. Whereas what we found with the other plant-based milks is they tended to change the taste of your tea or coffee or cereal you're having it with. And therefore, a lot of people were put off introducing plant-based milk into their diet. So we managed to achieve that. We got a product which has a complementary taste profile. It's got a mouthfeel very similar to milk. It's got the opacity of a milk as well. So it's white. So psychologically, when you're having it, you're thinking about milk. And then from a nutrition perspective, we added chickpea protein as a protein source. We also fortified it with vitamins A, D, and E, and it's actually got quite a bit less sugar than dairy milk. Also, we've got calcium as well. And then corn is gluten-free. It's also, there's no allergens. So we've got a lactose-free, gluten-free, allergen-free beverage. Last point would be on the functionality, which is we also wanted a product that could behave like a milk. So it does whiten your tea and coffee. When you add it to tea and coffee, it froths for your cappuccino, and it's also very good for baking with. So it's a fully functional milk alternative.
What I found so interesting, Tim, as you and I talked, the Maizly approach to actually creating the alternative milk, the alternative beverage, is one that you really take a lot of pride in. This isn't adding a lot of other ingredients. This is one that you focused on. How do we create, in essence, a clean label? And how do we do that in a way that is the environmental impact compared to maybe other alternative beverages?
Yes.
This one's a little lower.
With corn, what we learned was that corn uses the least amount of water and land per ton of produce. So it's very land efficient, water efficient. So therefore, it's a great sustainable crop. Also, what we found is being the most abundant crop in the world, it allows us to manufacture the product close to its markets. So we reduce food miles. And then lastly, whatever we put into the product goes into the final packaging. So there's no waste of water or ingredients during our production process. So from an environmental perspective, I think we are ahead of the curve. And sustainability obviously is a big topic and something everyone or most people are looking at. We're quite proud of the sustainability credentials we have.
Well, the credentials as well, Tim, I'm just in awe of what you have put together as it relates to your why, the why behind this product. You've talked about the the nutritional components of it, but this is a much bigger play for you, one that you had experience with in sub-Saharan Africa, where you saw a need that was unmet, one, but two, potentially fatal if not met and not fulfilled. Share more about your work in infant formula and where you see Maizly playing in that space.
The plant-based milk, which we call original, was our primary objective to develop that product. And we developed a full range of flavored products to go with it and a custard. But we have a bit of a passion project given our experiences in Africa. So I've worked in sub-Saharan Africa, both West, East, and Southern Africa in my private equity days. And so what I did usually was I'd stay with locals in order to understand the challenges that they had in their lives and how capital could reduce those challenges for them. So you understand best where to invest. And one of the things that I noticed, and this was in East, West, Southern Africa, it was consistent, was that the mothers, often the father or the partner was no longer around. So she'd be staying with her mother or the grandmother of the infant. She would have to go off to work every day. And in those environments, they earn enough for the next day's food. So they don't earn enough to purchase a large tin of infant formula, even if one was available, which often they're obviously not available in those environments. Also, refrigeration is a luxury item. And even if you have a fridge, power is also intermittent. So leaving express breast milk behind while she's at work is also not an option. So what I saw happening was the grandmother would feed the infant a combination of condensed milk, coffee creamer, and water mixed up.
Wow.
Now, the first 1,000 days from conception is where the biggest development in the brain happens. So the outcome of this is stunted growth syndrome, which is not just a stunting of the physical stature, but it's a stunting of the cognitive ability of the individual. And it's a lifelong prison sentence. So they can't be cured from this. And this problem is massively widespread. So it's, say, more than 39% of Africans are suffering from some form of stunting. Wow. And in Southeast Asia, it's even higher. They're predicting it's around 52%. So it's a tremendous issue in the developing world. Now, stunting with that cognitive inability you don't have the ability to be educated or become a productive member of the workforce, and you ultimately become a bit of a burden on the communities. So for us, it's terrible to see, and it's a lifelong prison sentence, as I say. So what we've done with our infant formula, we've developed it, but 70%, they say greater than 70% of Africans and Hispanic are lactose intolerant, and greater than 92% of Asians are lactose intolerant. So our base for our product is obviously lactose-free. And we developed codex-compliant infant formulas. So it's got all the amino acids, fats, proteins, everything that you need and is required in an infant formula. And then we packaged it in single-serving sachets. So a box of 40 single-serving sachets will go to the corner shop. Corner shop will open it up. And then the mother will be able to buy enough sachets for the day while she's at work, 10 US cents a sachet. And it suddenly becomes an affordable alternative to the concoctions that the infants are currently consuming. And hopefully then slowly we can change the narrative of Africa and this scourge on the population.
The innovation, Tim, that you, Marcel, the team at Maizly are bringing forward is one that's gaining attention even here in the States, coming off a giant win last year, National Corn Growers Association, their innovation challenge. Eager to hear a guy from South Africa pitching a corn-based beverage to corn growers. What was the experience like? What was the feedback you heard?
Obviously, one of the major uses of corn is animal feed. So the rise of plant-based milk is probably not ideal for corn growers. But I think there's a recognition that it has become mainstream. And here's a way to participate in the growth of a new market. So ultimately, I think we got very good recognition. And due to the features, characteristics of our product, is a possibility that it could become a major part of the plant-based milk market. Sure, we'll have competitors in the not-too-distant future. So it's a new avenue for them to maybe replace where they've lost opportunity with animal feed to pick it up in the beverage.
It's a really interesting, I think, positioning is it's an and, not an or, right? This is not a pick dairy milk over Maizly. This is that they can coexist.
Absolutely. So that's very important for us, as we see that the flexitarian market is a very fast growing market. And people have chosen that route, be it for environmental reasons or health reasons. And that's where our target was to position a product that would cater for that market. So that's why it was very important for us that the complementary taste profile came through, because then where they want to introduce a plant-based milk, not give up milk, dairy milk, there wouldn't be a huge difference between the products that they're consuming.
How do you think about this? I imagine this was a question during the pitch, but corn growers care a lot about moving corn and creating those end markets. A bit of a crystal ball. You have to think through demand, but what could this move? What could Maizly consume in terms of corn demand here in the States?
Bear in mind that Maizly is 84% water. So we've got 5% or 5 grams of corn per 33 flow ounces. So with corn, we use 75% of a kernel is the corn content that we use. I think a corn cob has about 120 grams of corn. So if you extrapolate it out, we would produce about 234,000 liters per 1 hectare of corn that's planted, provided looking at an average of 13,000 corn cobs per hectare. So that's sort of the maths behind it. But as far as the scale and the growth is concerned, because of the adoption of plant-based milks around the world, there's an expectation that it's growing at a compounding growth rate of 14% up till 2030.
Wow.
So that growth is quite substantial. If we achieve 1% of the plant-based milk market in the US by 2028, that's looking at about 500 million liters of plant-based milk.
That's incredible. Now, we have to dig in. You're probably not going to tell me, but I'm still going to ask the question. As you look at this corn demand, creating corn demand, using corn and Maizly, you've identified something unique in corn. I mean, this is to your point early on, this is a unique approach. What'd you find? What did you find? What varietal? How are you sourcing this corn to make Maizly?
So obviously our IP is carefully protected.
Yes.
We enjoy having a first move advantage in this, so we would like to protect that. But the short answer is it took us about 105 trials to get it right. And it's not just the corn variety that we found, but it's actually how it interacts with the other ingredients and the functionality that we wanted to achieve, not just the functionality, but also the characteristics of the product and the mouthfeel. So there was a huge amount of work in bringing together the right ingredients, which would work together and provide the outcomes that we wanted. Yeah, I can't go into too much detail as to the variety, but yeah, we're very happy with what we've achieved.
And you feel confident you could source it here in the States?
Yes, absolutely.
We will be back right after this. We'll dig into what's the future of the food system right after this break. Ag Bioscience is supported by Indiana Farm Bureau.
From berries to dairies, from crop advisors to data analyzers, Indiana Farm Bureau is at the forefront of the top issues impacting Indiana agriculture. No matter your role in the ag industry, Indiana Farm Bureau membership means you'll always have a champion and an advisor. And because so much of your time is focused on your own enterprise, it's also good to know Indiana Farm Bureau is always working to fight for the future of agriculture. We come together to advocate for rural viability, the protection of property rights, competitive tax policies, and against burdensome regulations. Whether our members need a door opened, an impact in public policy, or an ally to strengthen their communities, Indiana Farm Bureau is there. We are the unified voice for all agriculture. To learn more about the benefits of Indiana Farm Bureau membership, go to infb.org.
Welcome back to Ag Bioscience. We're talking with Tim McClair, CEO and co-founder of Maizly. Tim, you are a longtime financial leader, an investor, an executive. We've talked about your work with Maizly, but I want to zoom out. I want to tap your brain here as we look at the future of the food economy, we look at the future of what's changing in the food system. What's the setup? What are you looking at for the next decade? What can we expect to see from your perspective that will shape the next 10 years of the food economy?
So I think there are a few factors that are driving innovation in the food space. Obviously, one is packaging, innovation in packaging and sustainability. Sustainability of packaging, sustainability of the ingredients that are being used. And then the other is health consciousness. People have become more health conscious. And that's, I think, driven a lot of the move into veganism and into the flexitarian diets. So I think that's going to really drive the next 10 years of growth in innovation in the food space. And reducing food miles, food security, reducing food miles, also something that I think is front and foremost in a lot of people's minds, given the geopolitical issues in the world.
Yeah, really interesting convergence of forces. You look at nationalism versus globalism. I mean, there's a whole lot of pieces, these puzzles that we can bring together. And as you do that, I think the question quickly becomes, who affects the change, right? Who is the one that really pulls in the lever hard? We have a number of consumer packaged goods, global consumer packaged goods companies, CPGs, that are really driving change. But how do you think about that in this next new chapter of the food economy? Who's the driver? Who's the passenger? What's the role of a big CPG, consumer packaged good company, versus the bevy of really interesting young companies with new innovations like Maizly?
I think it's almost a collaborative, although we are competing, it's a collaborative approach. I think the larger groups, you know, they have the ability to educate and consumer and they have big marketing budgets and they can drive consumer change, which is very important. But I think from an innovation perspective, you know, the more people who can innovate, the better, ultimately going to come out with the best technology. And that's obviously driven largely by the likes of a Maizly or small companies who have come up with ideas and have the passion to try and make them work. So I think that's the drive for change will come from these smaller companies, but I think the messaging and the education to the market will come from the bigger companies. And that is often the case. A lot of the smaller companies, they get to a certain size, they may well get swallowed up. Some may not and choose to continue the journey like we hope to. So yeah, I think that's really the direction of change. And you know, we're quite lucky as Maizly as well and companies of our size. You know, we don't need a big plant. We can co-manufacture our product. There's a co-manufacturer who has the capital equipment. We don't have to invest in that. We can use social media to get our message out there quite effectively to millions of people. And then the likes of Amazon, you can suddenly have your product available to all. Anyone can purchase it. And within 24 hours, it's at their doorstep. So that environment does provide us with a huge advantage, which maybe wasn't there, you know, a number of years ago.
That's so true. You look at CPGs really being the gate to the shelf.
Yes.
Right. And being how do you earn shelf space, still a really important place. And I think co-opetition that you described, where you're cooperating but also competing, I think that's a really interesting piece. But this direct-to-consumer channel, virality, the nimbleness, the agility of a early stage company that can find a unique customer problem, go solve it, communicate directly to that customer, not have to buy eyeballs and headspace.
Yes.
Really powerful.
Yes. It makes for a fun journey.
Yeah. Sure. Well, I'm glad that we've met and I'm glad that we can watch you on this journey. Let's finish up with that. What is this journey? Where does it go next? When can we expect to see Maizly in the U.S.?
We're working hard with that. We've completed our production trials at a co-packer, and we are hoping to have our first production runs in the end of April. So our product should be available in May. We are looking to launch also on Amazon as well. So it will be available for anybody who wants to try it. And then we are looking at some pilots with certain retailers as well to get the product going. As far as our ambitions are concerned, we are very ambitious. We believe that we've got the first move advantage, so we want to make that count, and we want to get it universally available as fast as we can. So we've built our business model around achieving that, and our goal is to be in 100 countries by the end of 2028.
I love it.
So we are going hard.
I love it. And Tim, where can people find more about Maizly online, maybe?
Maizly.com.
Maizly.com. Yeah. Maizly. Maizly.com. He is Tim LeClaire, CEO, co-founder of Maizly. Tim, it has just been a delight to have you on Ag Bioscience and glad to have you here in the States.
Thank you very much. Thanks for having me.
And thank you for tuning in to Ag Bioscience. We look forward to seeing you real soon.
Ag Bioscience is a podcast by Agrinovus Indiana, hosted by Mitch Frazier, produced by Kayla Chittister and Fabian Rodriguez. photography and design by Kaylee Kerr. If you liked today's episode, subscribe, rate, and review so we can bring you more conversations just like this. Get all episodes of Ag Bioscience at agrinovusindiana.com.